Blog Talk Radio.
You'll be listening to Box Set here on GoldBoxMedia.com with your host.
If the laws of physics no longer apply in the future, God help you.
The oh-so-sexy cat.
Oh, my breath, they're really strong.
And the almighty bad.
It's simple. Just take the hydraulic phase shift emulator and attach it to the transdimensional photon particle emitter. New tower.
From somewhere high atop the Eiffel Tower, not in Paris, and talking about the replica one somewhere that someone has on their desk, this is Boxheads. You're on to CodeBoxMedia.com, also heard on BlogTalkRadio.com. Thank you. So, we did not do a show Saturday, just due to some stuff everyone had going on. Cat's in the process of moving. I had a friend in the hospital I had to go see, and I think Shriggs was just eating zombies or something. I don't know. But Shriggs will not be joining us today. He will be calling in randomly. He's at class, so he's actually a true trooper here. He's going to be calling in while he's having breaks at class. So he obviously has nothing better to do with his time. So, you know.
Yeah, too bad we couldn't call him in the middle of class. What are you doing now?
That would be great, but I'm sure he would probably lose credits. So.
Yeah, there we go.
I wouldn't want to be responsible for that. I'd feel terrible. But so this week we actually have quite a lot to talk about. We're going to be going over some old school PvP talks, some games that may be hard to find and games that we kind of miss. We're going to be talking about the Xbox Kinect, Apple Incorporated, surprisingly, Guild Wars 2, and we do have a off-the-wall game for you this week, which is exciting, and much, much more to come. So, with that being said, Kat, how's your week going? I know it's been crazy for you.
It has. I just did my yard sale this weekend. Trying to clear things out for the move. And so, needless to say, I had all those computer parts and monitors and so forth out, you know, in my yard to sell, and I think maybe one thing sold.
Wow.
And I think that was like a fan to a CPU.
Well, apparently no one wants those old 14K modems that you have, so, I mean, I'm not sure why. Those are, like, so awesome.
Oh, wonderful. But, you know, I had a bunch of different things, and I figured, you know, maybe somebody could recycle or do something with them. I don't know. I also have, like, a clipboard that's made out of like a motherboard part. So I, you know, there are some really creative people out there, and I thought, well, I'll just put them out there. Somebody might be able to use it for something. And you know, and I have my monitor, one of my monitors out there, and I mean, this monster is like the size of a washer or dryer. I mean, it's one of those huge monitors, and it's, you know, no high definition or anything like that. So it was, you know, people came up, it was just like looking at me like, really?
Yeah. Well.
So, you know, I tried, but
see, that's the beauty of yard sales, because if I was in your yard sale and I saw the clipboard with it's a motherboard, I would yank that so fast it wouldn't even be funny, because,
right.
I mean, that's just the kind of stuff I buy. I mean, for crying out loud, I went to Savers and we were looking for a computer desk for me, and we found a latch hook. What is it? It's like how big is this thing? Probably, I want to say 3 foot by about 4 foot latch hook lion picture that someone made. It was about $2. And yeah, it was awesome.
And you found this in your house?
No, I found it at Savers, actually, which is kind of a thrift store here in Ohio. It's like Goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it was already done, or it was one of those?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? I would not have the patience to do all that. No. Someone
really?
Did all the hard work for me.
So that's why you go to yard sales.
Yes, pretty much.
You already want the stuff already done.
Well, of course. I mean, come on. Who has the time for that kind of stuff? No, but it took me about 15 minutes to convince my wife to let me buy it. So.
Really?
That's
the glory of yard sales. It really is. I mean, everything that I went through, and I think we ended up selling about $100, maybe $150 worth of stuff just from what was. No, it's not. It wasn't bad because we thought it was junk, you know, but other people could use it. And then, you know, I had an old lawnmower out there too that somebody ended up picking up because he built them. And so, I mean, this was just, you know, some of the things that you can pick up, and if somebody's going to rebuild it or you know, reuse the parts or anything, more power to them.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I know a couple of people who have gotten, like, a Atari and just, like, some really, really old school vintage video game software that was in mint condition that people were selling for $5. And, like, you look at them and go, is this really $5? And they're like, yeah. And you're like, I'm going to take this now and never let go. So, I mean, seriously, some people, some of the older crowd, you know, like my grandparents' generation, if they have that kind of stuff, they don't care. They don't know what these damn video games are all about. So,
right.
Yeah, yard sales are awesome because you can find some pretty nifty things in there. So.
Well, we had one of our neighbors came over to buy, because we used to have, we actually had the traveling VHS. It's before the DVDs came out and everything, we had the VHS tapes, and we had a traveling one. So it was, you know, that you could put in the car, and you could watch the tapes in the car and everything. And we had one of those and a bazillion tapes, you know, back from when we used to collect those. And one of our neighbors actually bought it. She was redoing her her part of her house for her grandchildren, and they had – you know, they were older people, so they had tapes. You know, they didn't have the DVDs and stuff. And it was just for grandchildren to come over and watch something. So they bought the full collection of tapes with the, you know, the little VHS player there. So,
wow.
I mean, people can reuse them. And it's, if you're just talking about your grandchildren that come over maybe once a month or something, it was pretty useful for her.
That's
so
awesome. Very
yeah,
nice.
So that worked out pretty good. But I was not able to get rid of my old Xbox 360 boxes. Or consoles. I had two of them, and they have the problem with where they get that green circle in it or something like that.
The red ring of death.
That was so annoying. But I figured maybe, you know, somebody could fix it up or whatever. And
I had
some
two
of
those do that? Wow.
Yeah, I had two. Yeah, so, you know, I traded them in for, you know, an Xbox 360 later on. But the old Xbox games I had too, but they won't play on the Xbox 360. So what the hell am I supposed to do with this?
You know, they actually make really good cup holders. The CDs make really, really nice shiny cup holders. And the cases actually make for good shelving units.
There you go.
No, seriously, there's actually something that, I don't know if you guys have, those of you listening who, I'm sure you guys have actually heard of these people, but RoosterTeeth.com, they do the red versus blue stuff for Halo.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have these invisible shelves that are actually from old game cases. They actually screw one or two of the game cases into the wall and stack the rest of their video game stuff or whatever on top of them, and it looks like they're just floating in midair, so... That is also another.
Insane.
Yeah,
really?
It's actually a pretty neat idea. I want to do it once I get my man cave, but that's not until I get a house, so we'll have to wait on that.
Yeah, I hear you. But so that's what I did over the weekend, and I got rid of some good stuff and some old stuff that I pulled out from technology back then, which just kind of brought back memories. But
old painful memories.
All painful memories, 1414 modems, there you go. But I happy to say that my new guidebook is out, Why We're Failing as Parents in a Tech-Driven Society. So for any parent gamers who are listening and even grandparents, my guidebook will be on sale on Amazon.com next week. And it's kind of a short handbook, but it focuses on how old-school parenting and modern social communities can coexist in today's technically advanced society with and raising our kids in this type of era. So, it's called Why We're Failing as Parents in a Tech-Driven Society. It'll be for sale on Amazon next week.
Nice. I definitely have to get that for my parents because, well, my mom mostly because she still has trouble with the VCR. So.
Right. Right.
And, yes, I still do
have a good, VCR. Yeah, it's a good thing because a lot of the parents don't, understand what's going on. You know,
and it's amazing how blind some of the older quote unquote generation is to technology, and they're just like, oh, I'll never use that. And you look at them like, why? It makes your life so much more convenient. Like,
right.
Like, take email for example. My grandmother still does not like email. She refuses to use it as much as possible, and she has to send letters. And I'm thinking, okay,
wow.
You know, I understand the whole point of a handwritten sentiment. I get that. But it means just about the same as typing out an email these days, because the person gets it right away, and you can even add, like, little pictures or animated stuff in there, and it just makes it a little bit more, I don't know. Maybe it's just me growing up in a technology age, and it's like, okay, it's email. It's the same thing. And I'm also impatient. So that might have something to do with it, too, because it's like, I don't want to send someone a business letter or something saying, hey, we're doing a tournament with Street Fighter. Do you want to sponsor us? And then waiting a whole month and a half for them to get back to me. So just email them, and they just instantly get,
I completely agree.
If you have someone like that in your family, which I'm highly certain every single one of us does, I don't think there's a person that's on the face of the earth that doesn't have someone who's kind of a stickler with technology. So I would definitely pick up this book and kind of give it to them as maybe a early birthday or Christmas present. I know Christmas is a long ways off, but just say, hey, I was thinking of you. Happy, really, really early Christmas. I don't know.
There you go. And you could also give it as one of those hint, hint, you're really failing behind in technology. For some reason, you still have, you know, those VHS tapes or whatever in your house, and my kids really
you're like, hey, stupid, those were like so 90s, literally. Go buy some DVDs.
Yeah, you could use it as a little hint thing there, too. But I totally get you on the email thing. You know, in fact, because of email and the way that our technology is these days, they are getting rid of the curse of handwriting in schools. I mean, because we just don't use it anymore. And the
goodness.
Kids have no need for it. Yeah,
well,
so they're getting rid of it.
Yeah, but, you know, as someone who does not have the greatest handwriting in the world, I mean, I'm a guy, that's kind of a given, but...
Right.
I never understood the point of cursive. I was always able to write faster just regularly, and my cursive looked retarded anyway. I mean, it looked like someone with schizophrenia that was just kind of shaking all over the place, and you're just like, whoa, look at my A's and I's. Just, yeah, I don't know. It's just something that's just, it's like Roman numerals. I never understood the point of learning Roman numerals in school. You're like, what? I'm not in Rome for one, and I'm not Egyptian either. So I'm not sure if Egyptians use Roman numerals. Don't quote me on that. I just never understood I still don't understand Roman numerals. It's like, okay, I get the V is 5, but if the I's on one side of the V, it's a 4. But if the I's on the other side of the V, it's a 6+. And you're just like, wait, what? Why can't I just do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Why do I have to do VI, VII, VIII? It's just like, wait, what? That makes no sense. And then X is 10. And you're just like, oh. So if the X has the I next to it on the left, does that mean it's a 9? They're like, no, it has to have this. And you're like, but that's how it works with a 5. And they're like, nope, it's different. So I just kind of stuck to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's just so much
that's
more simple.
Right. And just print writing instead of handwriting. No, I get you. I'm so there with you.
Yeah, I learned cursive, and I probably could never actually do it again. I haven't done it in years, so.
And that's why I think it's a good thing that they're getting rid of it these days with the email and the technology the way it is. Rarely are people writing letters. I mean, you have to sign your name for some things, but I really don't sign my name. I usually just kind of print and then add a little twirly thing at the end of my Y, you know, and that's my handwriting signature.
My signature looks like a doctor's signature. It's just like a bunch of chicken scratch. So,
you know, and that's a good point too. A lot of the prescriptions I cannot read. I'm like,
yeah, you're like,
what is he putting me on?
Dr. Stigglebickle. Okay, cool. That's great. Even though I go to Dr. Steve, and yeah, you. No, I mean, it's very true. I mean, it's becoming more of a society norm to just kind of mash on your keyboard. I was going to actually mash on my keyboard, but I didn't want to do anything that would close the studio down or
disconnect you.
Yeah. Well, and plus my keyboard's not one of those high raised keys that make a lot of noise. I'm sure you guys have seen those where it's like a click 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 click, and you look over to your buddy and you're like, why do you have this keyboard still? I'm going to shoot you. Because, you know, he's over there furiously typing at 100 words per minute, and all of you hear is, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, shut up. Like, I know people that like those keyboards. I used to like them, too, until I found a Logitech very sleek, smooth keyboard with all the keys kind of pressed down, and it's kind of very nice. So.
Right. Well, then those ones that are raised, like, they pop off, and you're like, wait a minute, where'd my P go?
Yeah, but you know, actually, those are actually a lot easier to clean than the newer keyboards.
Yeah.
Because I have literally taken off all my keys on my keyboard a couple times, and spent hours trying to put them back on because there's these little small buttons you have to kind of get on there, and then I realized I had a couple keys wrong. So I was like, that doesn't look right. I'm like, the G kind of looks off, and then you know you're typing, and all of a sudden you get like. Kerfurkernerker, and you're like, wait, what?
Yes.
So, but that would actually be a good April Fool's to take someone's keyboard and completely mess with like all the vowel keys that are like put like the A and D in the wrong spot and move the O to where the M is, and so people are typing, and you're like, they look at it and go, what the hell am I doing? Like, I'm, yeah, and. The best part is they probably wouldn't notice it either if they're not, you know, that technologically, like, savvy. They would just be like,
right.
My keyboard's wrong. And they would, like, take it to Best Buy and go, hey, my keyboard's wrong. And, yeah, I don't know.
Right.
That'd be, like, the world's best troll or something. I have no idea.
That's awesome.
Apparently Chewy agrees. So thank you, Chewy. I appreciate that. Kat, you wanted to talk about Earth Day for a second there. I know that I'm not a big Earth Day person, so why don't you give us the down low here?
Yeah, I'm going to admit I don't do a lot of recycling as much as I should, and I'm probably the only person on, well, maybe there's probably another person, but on my block that doesn't have one of those recycle bins. I am guilty, people. Do not spam me and send me viruses because I still play my part in saving this earth. I don't litter. I teach my kids not to. And I, you know,
right.
I do my part, you know. I plant a tree here and there and so forth. But I admit I'm not always the recyclable person. But I do believe that when it does come down to it, and if it's, you know, that it is a good issue and it does need to be addressed. And with technology, the way that technology has kind of flourished throughout the years, it is a lot more difficult to get rid of batteries and CPUs and, you know, laptops and things like that, and actually have them sit in, you know, these little piles on the hill and just piling up and then oozing, you know, all kinds of different chemicals, who knows what, into the air.
Right.
I understand that, and I see that, and I agree with it. And I think that every now and then, maybe, you know, once a year, I think that Earth Day is important. I think that, especially in this day and age, and in teaching our children responsibilities and ourselves as adults, as we tend to go through technology so fast.
Right.
So, there is there's a company out there who takes innovation and drives technology and landfills and places that knowledge into society. And the company is called E-Waste Systems. And for over 40 years, they've been observing Earth Day. And over the course of that time, they have realized that they've made huge strides in creating awareness for the environment. But they've also witnessed the level of waste and e-waste that dramatically increased. So their answer is quite clear.
Right.
They need to celebrate. They need people to celebrate Earth Day and work a little bit harder than we normally do on once, twice a year even, to counter our collective and insatiable desire for these must-have gadgets. And this pretty much can only be realized by proper recycling of technology. If you don't know how to recycle, if you don't know what to do with those old batteries or your old, for instance, me with my 14 4K modems, e-waste systems, you can go online to ewastesystems.com, and they will tell you exactly what to do with those and how you can prepare them for recycling so that you're not oozing that those chemicals all over to other people and getting it on their hands and so forth. So
I would
highly recommend it. They represent 2% of the U.S. trash in landfills. That pretty much equals 70% of toxic waste.
Wow.
I mean, that's insane. What can you imagine? I don't know. Look how far we've come in a decade with technology. I mean, another decade or two, and we're breathing in like all these chemicals. And I mean, they're saying now what we can get. Well, not technically, it's not been proven, but some statistics say that you can get tumors from your cell phones and things like that. I mean, just from the waves that come out, you know, the chemical waves and so forth. I mean, it's just insane how much waste we have piling up. So,
right.
Again, I know I'm a lot like our listeners, and like you, Beth. I get so busy and I just throw things out in the trash. So make this a month where you try to make a little bit of a push forward in e-waste management and getting rid of those old computer parts and knowing what to do with them. So e-waste management systems online, I would check that
Yeah,
out.
Most definitely, guys. I mean, you know, I know Best Buy even does this. When you walk in, they have their cell phone drops where, hey, if you have an old cell phone, drop it in here and we'll recycle for you. So, I mean, there's actually quite a lot of companies that kind of, at least like, you know, Best Buy's and, well, Circuit City isn't around anymore. I'm not sure if Walmart does it, but it's just kind of something to think about because, you know, batteries are pretty nasty. The way they're actually made is pretty intense with chemicals. I mean, it's not like Energizer or Bunny's hitting a drum. It's pretty nasty chemicals. So I would definitely kind of recycle those at least. I mean, if that's the one thing you recycle, then great. You know, it's something that I think that our kids' generation just doesn't care about. It's something that we kind of need to tell them about because, you know, you are right when you say that it's something that, what's the word I'm looking for? It escapes me at this very moment, and I'm not sure why.
You're so busy thinking about all that e-waste you have laying around your desk.
Yeah, probably.
Wow, she's making me feel guilty now.
Yeah, unfortunately. So, you know. Thank you, Kat. I appreciate that. Anyway, guys. I know what word I was looking for. Responsibility. There we go. I'm not sure why.
Oh, there we go.
I'm not sure why that word is escaping me for some odd reason. That was weird. Anyway, I mean, I'm not the biggest Earth Day supporter. Hell, I'll be honest. I'm one of those people that's just kind of like screw the caribou drill in Alaska type of people. I want my energy to be kind of here, but we kind of have to make sure that we have a good balance. I think, at least with batteries and just stuff that actually is harmful. You know, I don't care about paper plates and crap. You can throw those away. It's not something that's going to really make us choke or die, but you know, stuff like batteries and chemicals and stuff that you probably shouldn't be throwing away in your garbage can. Those are probably something you should definitely recycle. But I think favorite YouTube video for Happy Earth Day was some redneck hillbilly guy starting his lawnmower. Then he started a bigger lawnmower. Then he started a even bigger lawnmower. Then he went over to his car, started that. Then he went over to like his souped up huge truck, started that. Then he went over to his boat. Not making this up, he actually did all this. He started his boat. And by the way, all those things are still running. And then he finally got to his this big-ass generator. He started that. And then he backed up and zoomed out, and it said, Happy Earth Day.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, I mean, you have people like that that are just not, don't care one iota about it. But, you know, I'm not a crazy environmentalist person who's also going to try and marry a tree either. There is definitely a balance between crazy and not caring. You kind of have to go with it. So, yeah.
Exactly. I completely agree.
So parents, please teach your kids about just kind of what they need to know. I mean, it is their responsibility. It's not someone else's responsibility. Everyone kind of has to play a part. And this kind of has to go with everything in life, not just Earth Day. So kind of beat your kids into that mindset. And it's a pet peeve of mine that you see kids that running around with their boxers hanging halfway down their ankles, and you're like, do you want a belt or something? Can I help you?
I
don't know. It's something that I think kids these days need to be a little bit more proactive on themselves. So, oh well.
Exactly. And, you know, and that also goes to, say, with the parents. Who need to take those responsibilities because a lot of kids learn by what their parents do.
Yeah.
So, you know, once the parents take responsibility, then we may see some changes as well. But,
yeah.
And speaking of kids and responsibility and parental responsibility, Apple is in legal trouble over free-to-play app aimed at kids.
Sued
by a lot of parents because basically what's happening is the kids will get onto the iPad or the parents' iPhones and, you know, they'll see these little, hey, Mom, my kids do it all the time. Mom, can I download this? It's free. And, you know, obviously I say, hey, yeah, go ahead as long as it's free. Unfortunately, about 15 minutes into the gameplay, things pop up and say you have to pay for it, and they just quickly click OK because now most of the time, Apple asks you for a password when when you want to purchase something. Now, when you click on that free and it asks you for the password, you have like a certain amount of window time before it'll re-ask you for that password again. So during that time, your child clicks that free, you type in the password, your child goes about playing, and then that button comes up that says, now you must purchase, and they click OK, and it's automatically purchased.
And there goes $50.
Yes. So basically, these parents have found $100 or more iTunes account bills due to these so-called bait-and-switch applications. So, Apple users, you're being warned now, and parents, you know, watch what your kids are doing and make sure your kids are being more responsible about, hey, Mom, this popped up. Should I click OK or whatnot? Keep an eye on their bills. I know that this is going to be a very tough legal dispute because, one, Apple's going to say they're not held responsible.
What are you, stoned or stupid?
Exactly. I mean, seriously, that seriously comes down to it. Are the parents either doing drugs or are they just that stupid that they're not going to pay attention to what they're doing? And,
right.
You know, again, it comes down to personal responsibility, everybody. It's just one of those topics that just kind of make my head boil because you're like, why are you not paying attention to your child and what they're doing? Well, like, I mean, it's not Apple's responsibility. It's not the president's responsibility. It's not my responsibility. It's yours because you chose to have the kid. You're raising them, and you need to actually watch what they're doing. It's not like, it's like parents that just let the TV babysit for them and not actually interact or help with homework and stuff. And then they wonder why their child rebels and does drugs because they're not paying any attention to their own kid. So.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I could talk about this for 6.5 hours because it's just...
I'm there with you.
Oh, it's just so angry, aggravating. But anyway, we're going to move on to talk about some video games because that's what the show is supposed to be about.
That is right. And speaking of video games, Star Wars actually becomes the first number one Kinect title. A lot of people have named Star Wars, the game on the Xbox Kinect, the number one game for the Kinect console. So,
the rest of the Kinect games are terrible. I mean, come on, it's up against Kinectimals for crying out loud. I mean,
well, it's the title won with a 55% rating. That, you know, it actually did beat out like Mass Effect 3, believe it or not, on the Kinect. But you know me, I'm a big Mass Effect fan, and I cannot see myself playing Mass Effect 3 on the Kinect.
Before you go any further, that's great. Kinect finally has a game that doesn't suck balls. Wonderful. Yay. you know, wait, I keep forgetting I have that clap drop in, but we have so many sound bites. Oh, there it is. Hang on. Let me. And okay, so now that we have the applause out of the way, I mean, the game's graphics are actually really cool. The game looks like a lot of fun, but again, I would just rather have a controller. I'm one of those old school gamers who's just like, let me sit down, let me relax. I don't want to exercise when I play my video game. Now, I see, and this is kind of where I'm kind of a hypocrite a little bit. So just kind of bear with me here. I get that kids these days are lazy and they just kind of want everything there for them and handed to them. So companies are trying to fight the United States obesity problem, which is great. I mean, it's nice to see that, you know, companies are aware that our kids are fat, lazy, and stupid. So, I mean, like, just plain and simple, companies are like, oh, hey, we probably should combat this problem or else we're not going to have a generation that actually buys anything from us. So they've invented the Kinect, the PlayStation I thing, which sucks. And the Wii, which isn't half bad, but I still feel like I'm doing something dirty when I play the Wii. It's just creepy. So, the Kinect is a really cool idea. When I first saw it, I was like, that looks stupid. Why the hell? Then I played a little bit of it, and it's fun because you get to make fun of yourself. And if for some reason it takes pictures. Apparently the guy played naked once, and it put it to his Facebook, so... Just kind of keep that in mind. No, not me. Just, yeah, like, I mean, you read stories that people are just that stupid and don't actually check any of the settings because it'll connect to your Facebook and say, hey, look how much fun this guy's having, or look, this guy's a douchebag. So, but the idea for having a Star Wars game on the Kinect is actually pretty good. Again, when I first saw it, I was like, that looks retarded. And actually, if you watch the commercial, everyone looks like they're in pain while playing the game. Like, right. Have you seen the commercial, Kat?
Yes, I have.
Can you agree with that? Like, everyone just kind of looks like they're, like, being forced to play it. Like, one guy looks like he's crying. Like, I think he's driving the pod racer. He's like, I don't want to do this. They're making me. I'm just like, wow, could you look like you're having fun rather than, like, your eyes are all, like, his eyes look, like, really red. And just like
it's
almost
really,
like,
yeah,
just
really
like wow, yeah. He's like, oh, I'm trying to have fun. Must have enjoyed this game. I'm getting paid. But I mean,
or maybe he's just not used to it, and he's actually this is you know having to get up and move around is really painful.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Him.
He's like, oh, my muscles are hurting. It's so I don't like moving. Yeah. So you know, I mean, it's great that Xbox is trying to bring games that other gamers play onto the Kinect. Mass Effect, probably not the best idea. I mean, I always love the slogan, played better on Kinect. No, played better on PC. Yeah, there's just, no. I mean, you can't take a high-action first-person shooter and tell me that it's going to be better than the PC version. There's just,
right.
I mean, until we get Star Trek technology, good luck with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've actually seen someone integrate Battlefield 3 onto the Kinect for the PC, and it's actually really cool, but there's about a 1 to 2 second delay, and he dies a lot. But it's still really cool because, you know, all of his actions that he had pre-programmed into the Kinect were able to, you know, actually read them, and, you know, he actually has to reload his gun and stuff. So that's cool, but we're not there yet. And, anyway.
So you're saying the Star Wars one of all of them, you do agree that that might maybe pretty much the best one if you're going to play any game on Kinect.
Oh, hands down. I mean, the Kinectimals, I think, is really good for the little kids because, you know, they don't really need to do a lot. They just need to be like, oh, hey, look, there's a kitten, meow, type of thing. So,
right.
And then, you know, you have Dance Central and stuff, but I'd rather just play DDR. Again, I'm kind of an old school person that just wants to hit those little arrows and not dance around like Michael Jackson. I mean, it's just, it creeps
right.
me out, and I don't want to take pictures of me while doing that. I don't own an Xbox or a Kinect. The only system I own is a Wii, and there's a good reason for that because I'm a Nintendo fanboy, I'll be honest. I think
right.
their games are probably the best out of everything, franchise-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Inventiveness,
well,
not so...
Well, they've been around a while, too.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, you have games like Metroid, Zelda, Mario, and Donkey Kong, but, you know, on the Xbox, you know, you got, like, Halo. Hey, Halo.
Right.
So, I mean, the Star Wars Kinect game actually looks really, really neat. You know, you can be a Rancor, for goodness sake, and throw people at walls. I mean, that's awesome. Like, why this game wasn't out when the Kinect first released, I think the Kinect would have done a much better job. And you know, that's kind of weird saying that because I was working at GameStop at the time when the Kinect was released, and that was actually one of our most popular items, but then it got returned like a day later. Because people were like, this is dumb. Well, because there wasn't a lot of that's the problem with PlayStation and Xbox systems is their release games are usually really terrible. I mean, with 360 we had, it was Perfect Dark was the first release game, and that game was, wow. Yeah, I just keep that on the system.
It enthralled you. It got you into the console and actually... a positive notion of why you actually bought that and spent all the money for it.
Yeah. You just kind of okay. I mean, now, same with the 3DS. Their launch titles were just were kind of iffy. I mean, I'm a huge Pilot Wings fan, so I was like, whoa, Pilot Wings! Everyone was like, that's stupid. I'm like, you're stupid. So, I'm sorry, Pilot Wings is like the greatest game ever. It's so relaxing. And whenever your guy dies, he screams bloody murder because he's falling to his death. I mean, it's awesome. I may probably need to see a shrink, but that's okay. So,
well, speaking of the Xbox 360, obviously there are some pretty well-known companies out there who are really catching on to the positives of the Kinect because Brisk Iced Tea. We actually had them on in January to talk about their Brisk app. And if you have not seen the Brisk app commercial yet, you are pretty much a loser because it is one of the best commercials of all time. And I'm telling you truthfully, as a girl gamer and as a mother, that it enthralled me and my children, no doubt. And just for... a little bit of laughs, we'll go ahead and play some of that commercial.
Darth Maul, not yourself, you look.
Ugh, super late night, being bad and evil in any way.
Taste the Force! I'm okay.
Now you die!
Wrong button. Nope.
Ow! Double saber, delicious!
Too old for this, I'm getting.
That's Brisk, baby!
I love that commercial.
I absolutely love it. It's just brilliant, and it really is one of the best commercials I've seen in terms of gaming and dealing with the sci-fi
community. Oh, heck yeah. Seriously, gaming commercials these days are just so stupid.
They are, and this one hit the nail on the head, and now Brisk Iced Tea is at it again. They are unveiling 1 liter bottle of Brisk Lemon Iced Tea featuring Star Wars characters R2-D2 and C-3PO with a tag to unlock exclusive content for the new Kinect Star Wars game. And what you'll do is you have this in tag, and it's printed on the bottle, and it unlocks content in the Xbox game.
Oh, wow,
the special in tag on the label, yes, will allow gamers to unlock Anakin Podracer experiences in the Kinect Star Wars game and limited edition Kinect Star Wars Xbox 360 bundles. So If you have not seen the commercials, if you haven't grabbed your Brisk iced tea yet, I would highly recommend it. And please go to www.codeboxmedia.com and read our article about the new Brisk iced tea bottle and Star Wars game content. And then also on that, you can listen to our interview with Brisk Iced Tea from January and some of the nice little contents they have coming out and for the future. So
awesome.
Hats off to Brisk Iced Tea.
Yes. I mean, like, personally, I always played, what the hell was his name? I was trying to actually find it while you were talking, but I wasn't able to find it. It was Mars Goo, I believe. No, was it Mars
uh-huh.
Goo or maybe it was something Duo or so? I don't remember. But on the what really kind of made me excited for this was the pod racing stuff, because I'm a huge fan of N64 Pod Racer, and so yeah, I mean, hats off to Brisk Iced Tea again. They're starting to just kind of say, you know what, Star Wars is really fun and popular, and it's just a really fun series to do stuff with. So they're kind of continuing on from their lightsaber app. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
If you haven't played it, you definitely should.
It is.
Awesome.
It's addicting.
I know.
Very
it's
addicting.
So addicting. It's just like, oh, I'm going to go play for an hour, and you're like, 6 hours has gone by. And you're like, I'm still playing this app.
with your, like, what, 10 bottles of Brisk Iced Tea while you're at it? Woo!
Yep. And my rum. You have to kind of mix those two to have a really fun party.
There you go.
Yeah.
Then you're gonna have Long Island.
Yeah, Long Island.
Woohoo!
Oy
vey. Mix Connect even more.
No, Chewy, you cannot have any. You're not old enough yet. Anyway, so let's talk about some old school PvP. On that note, I'm not sure why we went from alcohol to PvP, but oh wait, I know why. Because you usually drink because you get very angry at PvP. At least I don't know. That was a horrible
segue.
Some of us need
to play better PvP when we're drunk.
Well, I'm not going to name names, Kat. So, at all.
Yeah, as I was going through some of the old games for my yard sale and everything, obviously my Dark Age Camelot was in there in the expansions that they had, and some, you know, my husband started playing EverQuest again because there was, you know, he wanted to find something to pass the time before we moved, and
right.
He installed that and started playing that, and he was, you know, noticing some of the changes. Obviously, the picture is still pixelated and everything, but the fact of the matter was that as I was watching him, he was enjoying himself, and he was talking nonstop about, oh, I remember this, and I remember that, and, you know, this was the first ever healer I ever made on any video game, you know, and he just went on and on about it, and it just made me think about what happened to these games. What happened to our old school games where we all used to just really get into and couldn't wait to get home and just jump on, you know, online and talk to people. And because, and, you know, and during the, like, put for instance, EverQuest and Dark Age of Camelot, they didn't have a lot of the voice over IP at that time. I mean,
right.
We were just barely getting into. I know my guild in Dark Age of Camelot started using Yahoo Voice for a little bit because there was really no other program.
We actually used conference calling way back when.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, even just the society in a whole, gaming society in a whole, having to communicate in the game was totally different then.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
it is now.
It definitely was. It's kind of crazy how much, I mean, literally in the last 7 years, how it's kind of been from nothing to semi-working to, okay, it's kind of getting better to, we have Mumble and TeamSpeak, which are probably one of the best voice over IP services to date right now.
Right.
I mean, we have Skype, but Skype is more for the video conferencing and stuff for businesses and whatnot. Skype's audio quality, I'm still not happy with. I think it could be a whole hell of a lot better. But, you know, it's useful because it allows us to do our radio show and whatnot. So,
right.
I mean, it has its uses. But as far as gaming-wise, Mumble and TeamSpeak, I think, are the leading people. I mean, you know, people will be like, oh, but Ventrilo's so good. No, it's not. After you use TeamSpeak or Mumble, you'll be like, holy crap, the audio quality is just so much better. Ventrilo is very, very old. That hasn't been updated in years. I'm not sure why. But, yeah, I mean, it's something that is very interesting to see just kind of how PvP has developed from, you know, even Ultima Online to Star Wars, which is the most recent MMO. Or actually, you know what, kind of even going a little bit into some games that are in beta, like Terra, which has kind of a Street Fighter mechanic to it, which, I mean, if you like it, cool, but it's honestly, it's not done to the point where I think it should have been released anyway. It's kind of, it's a weird combat system, and there's invisible walls in that game, so I was like, yeah, no, we're done. invisible walls in an MMO are just a no-no. That's bad.
Like, if
I want to commit suicide and run, jump off the thousand death cliff there, like you can in Kalimdor, just outside the Rogue Quest area, I should be able to do that. So, I mean, and I'm not sure why I brought that up. It was just one of my fond memories, killing myself. It was like, oh, this sucks. Anyway. But seriously.
I miss though.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, though. Like, old school PvP is something that I think I've been missing for a while.
Right, exactly. And that's where, you know, and I'll log into games and I enjoy, don't get me wrong, people, I enjoy player versus environment. And one of the biggest things that I would like to see more of is, instead of, you know, getting your levels, bam, 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 level, I think that, and this is my personal opinion, I think that there should be exploration level, or, so that you have to explore a certain amount, because I cannot stand playing PvE and raids and people are just like, just ignore that section. We're just going to go straight to the boss. And I'm like, well, I've never been here before. I want to go see over there. What's over there? You know?
I want to see the shiny dot. Dang it.
You know? I just want to. That's gaming to me. But no, you know, once you're in, you know, then you don't have exploration, so people don't care about that. And you just want to go straight to the boss. So,
well, you know,
my point is,
I'm sensing that we're talking about this for a reason. I mean, it's just, you know, there's a certain game coming out that I can't put my finger on it. It just sounds so much like what you're talking about. But continue. I'm sure you'll tell me in a minute.
Well, I think the biggest issue with me was having to reminisce, you know, going through my old games and everything and watching how the PvE was. Missing the PvP, obviously. I so missed Dark Age of Camelot PvP.
Oh my gosh,
and
you have no idea how awesome that was.
It's just amazing. And I mean, in fact, I remember having a guild mate one time who had just got the game. He started playing and he was like, well, I'll try some PvP, but I can only be on for another hour because I have to work tomorrow. And I said, okay. And he went in and he tried it, and I came back the next day and he was still on it. And he said, I called in sick. He loved the PvP so much. I got, you know, he was just so involved in it, and it was
probably
just such a
fired.
Good, you know, a PvP. And I have not seen that. And then I get this message that, you know, that new Star Wars The Old Republic massive patch was released.
Lol.
And I was just like, what patch? The PvP sucks in that game. Do not expect me to go back. I don't care how many patches you have.
But Kat, there's a legacy system and a family tree, and you can play as a something that's not important, and we have the fourth pillar, and we have talking. It's like, I don't care. Give me good game time content. Holy crap.
Exactly. And so that's what got me.
I'm just
going on it.
People that kind of, you know, okay, just to kind of clarify, we don't think Star Wars is a bad game. It's just its content is not there yet. I hope it'll get there. I don't see it getting there because BioWare is going the way of what Blizzard did, and that's a horrible idea, stupid idea. It's not going to end well. I have gotten 3 emails in a row saying, hey, you can play Star Wars for free until Friday.
Right.
That is not good when the game has only been out for not even 6 months.
Right.
That tells me that they are hurting, and that tells me that they want their other subscribers back that have said this game's terrible. It's not terrible. I should stop saying that. There's nothing new. The only thing that was new was 1 to level 50, and then after level 50, your story pretty much stopped. And BioWare said it wasn't going to. And I was like,
right.
Okay, my personal story should not be the whole endgame PvP thing. It should be a continuation of each patch you release with major content. It should be a continuation of my character story and extra quests and stuff. It shouldn't I have to go run a new instance. But wait, you're not geared yet. You have to grind your gear again. No, I don't want to do that. I'm sick of the gear grind. I'm sick of having, okay, well, I'm level 20, so I have to grind for 10 levels. Do you start PvP now? And blah, 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 blah. I'm sick of that.
Right.
I was talking with Tendawan over the phone a couple nights ago about it. And he doesn't really care about it. I guess that's just the way he enjoys his games. And that's fine. I mean, everyone has their personal preference. But I told him I was hoping to come back on 1.2 because it looked like a lot of really cool updates, but then they nerfed the class I was playing to Oblivion again. And I was just like, oh, okay, great. He's like, oh, it's the flavor of the month. You were just OP. And I'm like, no, I wasn't OP. I'm not talking about PvP because PvP was bloody terrible in that game when the Sith Inquisitors and, yeah, I could go on for hours about it. But it's just the way they're kind of forcing people into different roles per class, even though I said they want everyone's role to be, you know, viable, is just really hypocritical and just something I don't want to be a part of. So
right. And that was what got me was the PvP, and I am a PvPer, and I enjoy that. And so I miss out. I mean, I miss the day off ones. And now with Dominus, you know, talking with Warren Weems, last month, it's amazing. It's mind blowing. I can't wait till it comes out. And then, you know,
get
now we have Star Wars too.
Yeah. Come on, I'm still waiting. I gave you that $20 bill. Did you buy something with it?
Hey, wait a minute. I give him 10.
Well, hey, that means I'll get in first.
But yeah, so you have those games, and then, you know, Guild Wars 2 coming out, and I'm really hoping, and this is a sad thing because I got my hopes up with Star Wars: The Old Republic as well, and I'm really hoping Guild Wars doesn't disappoint me as far as PvP. I'm just looking for something that has some of the old school stuff, and you know, graphics to me are wonderful, but I'm telling you. You have Dark Age of Camelot, and their graphics were not even anything compared to what's now, and people still play it.
Definitely. I think another reason we were disappointed about Star Wars is we were paying for it monthly, and it was like this isn't worth it. This is not worth my money.
Right.
And unfortunately, I was one of the suckers that bought the $150 collector's edition, and yeah, that sucks.
Well, that's okay. You know what, BioWare?
Oh, you people can kiss the fattest part of my ass.
Okay, that works too. I mean, you know, it's so true though, because I mean, they kind of screwed up Mass Effect for everybody. I didn't even play it, and I felt like I was cheated. I didn't even buy the dang game, and I was like, wow, that sucks. You screwed the ending out because you know, I did boycott Mass Effect 3. I was one of those people that did not buy it. And I even felt cheated a little bit. I was like, well, then that ending sucks. So the past two games that I poured, you know, 200-plus hours in, did all the side quests and all the DLC, none of that mattered. It was all the same ending.
Right.
And so I was just kind of like, oh, that sucks. But, you know.
Yeah, that's what got me. Definitely.
So, I mean, you know, with Guild Wars 2, guys, I want to briefly touch on this a little bit. I think if you just buy the base game, you'll still be happy with it. I'm just going to buy the base game. The in-game items and stuff, okay, cool, you get pets. I don't care about those anymore. I'm just, whatever. I mean, I'm sure that they'll be available in the microtransaction store or whatever that however they're going to fund Guild Wars 2 because they kind of have to. I mean, and I'm okay with that as long as it's just cosmetic crap, which, from the sounds of it, that's what they're doing. I mean, that's what they're doing with Dota 2. That's what they're doing with, you know, League of Legends does that and all that other fun stuff. So, I mean, I'm okay with microtransactions when it comes to cosmetic stuff.
Right.
So,
I completely agree.
So, I'm
looking forward to that. Guild Wars 2 is probably one of the top of my list that I'm looking forward to as far as PvP goes. If you have not tried or if you have not watched the videos yet, I would recommend going to guildwars2.com and taking a look at that. And also we have a Codebox Media guild, so if you're interested in just shoot a tell over to Baz or to myself and and we can try to get you in there too. If you're not interested in playing any of those other games, I am going to let you know that there are some other games out there you may be interested in playing.
Okay.
But they may be a little bit, they may be a little bit odd for you.
Beware, I live.
And now it's time for totally off the wall. I'm going to go cry in a corner. Me too.
This one is really a quick one, but it is fascinating. Okay, I'm not going to use the word fascinating because that just sounds really disgusting. But it kind of hit home when I was outside with my dog and having my children, yes, I use my children as this, to pick up his poop. And this game is called Doggy Doo Doo. And basically what it is Happy Khaki is a dog, and he's always hungry. But what happens now? Oh, he's got to poop on the sidewalk. Naturally, dogs have to poop on the sidewalk. So we've got to play a game.
Crap.
And we've got to beat this game and pick up the poopy that little Happy Khaki has done on the sidewalk. The aim of the game is to pick up as much poop as you possibly can. You collect the dog's feces in your shovel, and the first player to three pieces of poop on his or her shovel is the winner.
Sounds like a Wii party game.
Wii party game.
Happy poop.
You mean we actually have to get up and move?
I know, seriously. I mean, and the way you would be moving the Wii remote would just be seal the deal for awkwardness. What's the game called?
It's called Doggy Doo. Khaki. You put the dog in the middle of the table, and each player gets a shovel, and you have to be the first to pick up three pieces of his poop. This is going to be fun, Dad. We can play this when we're drunk.
Gosh, seriously, where do you find this stuff?
You
like,
don't want to know.
No, I really don't want to know, because that's just... okay, I mean, it's better than the last one last week. Freaking mosquito, whatever the hell.
Hey, you enjoyed the mosquito boobs.
the 64-bit pixelated boob thing that you guys are. I'm not even sure anymore. I don't know. It's scary. anyway, guys, with that music, it is time to wrap up the show for this week. We appreciate you listening. And everything else. Kat, what did we learn this week?
We learned this week that you better keep an eye on your kids because there's a lot going on behind the scenes with Apple, and you might want to get them up and moving with that Kinect a little bit more if you're not getting them outside, but don't use the Kinect as a babysitter.
Yeah, we've also learned that it's very important to be responsible about Earth Day and not leave everything on like a hillbilly would. Just kind of remember to recycle your batteries and everything else that would be kind of more toxic. Guys, seriously, I mean, it's not like it's a big deal if you don't recycle a piece of paper, a can or a beer bottle or something. But with like batteries and laptop batteries and stuff, those are really poisonous. Those are actually kind of a serious issue. So make sure to kind of recycle those. And if you are kind of an old school PvP stickler guy, I would definitely recommend getting Guild Wars 2. There is no monthly fee, so kind of keep that in mind too. I think this is probably going to be the last MMO I will ever buy. Just because it's free and there's you don't have to worry about a lot of the other stuff. So, yeah. Other than that, I think that's everything. Remember, guys, complaining will get you everywhere.
And be sure that if you need to contact us, email us at boxheads@codeboxmedia.com. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at /codeboxmedia.com. And be sure to check us out on Saturdays from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock.
Yes. Also, I think Chewy wants to say something. Thank you, Chewy. I appreciate that, guys. See you next week.